This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Lori Vallow Daybell, the woman convicted of murdering her own children, is now arguing that she's the one whose constitutional rights were violated. Let that sit for a second. Jury found her guilty of killing 7-year-old JJ and 16-year-old Tylee. Their bodies were dug up from her husband's backyard, and now from prison, she's filed an appeal claiming the system did her wrong. Isn't just procedural noise. If any of these five claims land with the Idaho Supreme Court, she could get a new trial. How legit? How are we looking at this? What are the odds involved in this? Let's walk through each one, shall we? Because, spoiler, they're about as sturdy as a religious prophecy that didn't come true. And as we go through these, give me your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube, or even better yet, on our Substack, where you can interact directly with me here in the studio. Please do check that out. Hiddenkillers.substack.com. The link is in the comments. Quick context for anyone who needs it. June 2020, investigators find the remains of JJ and Tylee, her kids, buried on Chad Daybell's, her husband's property in rural Idaho. The kids have been missing since September of 2019. During those months, Lori wasn't exactly tearing apart the countryside looking for them. She was in Hawaii getting married to Chad, collecting her children's Social Security benefits. In May of 23, a jury convicted her of murdering both kids and conspiring to kill Tammy Daybell. That's Chad's first wife, who died conveniently right before Lori and Chad tied the knot. Three consecutive life sentences, no parole ever. Chad got convicted separately in 24, and he's on death row. And now Lori's appellate attorney has filed a brief arguing five constitutional violations entitle her to a do-over. You ready? Number one, or you got coming in at number five on the countdown. She says the court violated her Sixth Amendment rights by taking away her chosen attorney, Mark Means. Okay, here's what actually happened. So Lori says, we need like some music here with this, don't we, I think? What do we got here? What do we got? What do we got on the, I need like kind of, that's kind of dramatic. I want more of a cartoony. Here we go. When Lori says, my Sixth Amendment rights were violated, taken away. My chosen attorney, Mark Means, is gone. What she really means is what happened. Mark Means didn't just represent Lori. On the same day in April of 2020, he announced on Twitter publicly that he also represented Chad Daybell. That same day, in a recorded jail call, Chad told Lori, quote, Mark is my attorney, and referenced sharing confidential information with Means that Chad believed was protected by privilege. Oh, and Chad paid for Means to represent Lori. So you got a lawyer simultaneously representing two people who are named co-conspirators in a murder case, with one of them footing the bill for the other's defense. That's not zealous advocacy. That's a conflict of interest so glaring it could be basically seen from space. The court initially let Lori waive the conflict when she was facing lesser charges. But once the state upgraded to capital offenses like imprisonment, potential death penalty, the court said, no, you don't get to waive that kind of conflict when the stakes are that high. And here's the part that really guts the claim. At the time the disqualification happened, Lori had been found incompetent to stand trial. She legally could not make an informed voluntary waiver of her rights. The state's brief puts it plainly. If she lacked the capacity to understand the proceedings or assist in her own defense, she couldn't possibly waive a fundamental constitutional right knowingly and intelligently. This claim is dead on arrival. You don't get to share a lawyer with your co-conspirator husband, have him pay the tab, and then cry foul when the court system says it's a problem. The system wasn't violating her rights. It was protecting her from a catastrophically conflicted defense. Claim two. Ready? Lori claims she was denied the assistance of counsel because the court wouldn't let Mark Means participate in hearings about his own disqualification. The problem with that? Those hearings were in Chad Daybell's case, not hers. The court explicitly clarified this. Her case was suspended while she was incompetent. Chad wasn't. She's essentially arguing she should have had input into her co-defendant's separate criminal proceeding. And again, that's not how this works. They're two different cases, two defendants. The proceedings in her case were properly paused. What happened in his case during that time isn't a Sixth Amendment violation against her. It's just a different case. I know. Are you expecting much more from the woman who thinks her children were zombies? Are you expecting her to be competent on the law as she's filing these motions by herself on a legal pad? Claim 3, due process. She argues the court held pretrial hearings affecting her substantial rights while she was absent and legally incompetent. Let's talk about that incompetency. She was found incompetent twice during these proceedings. The first time, her case was stayed for nearly a year, May 21 to April 22. The second time, another month plus, October to November of 22. Total 353 days where her case was frozen because she couldn't participate. The court did exactly what it was supposed to do. It suspended her proceedings, the hearings she's now complaining about. Again, those were in Chad's case. You can't simultaneously argue that you were too incompetent to participate in your own case and also complain that you weren't included in someone else's. Pick a lane. The claim contradicts itself. Claim 4 is where things get even more interesting, because this one actually matters for understanding who Lori Vallow Daybell really is. She's arguing the court shouldn't have admitted evidence about prior alleged crimes in Arizona, specifically the July 2019 shooting death of her ex-husband Charles Vallow and the October 29 attempted shooting of Brandon Boudreau, who was married to her niece. The state's response to this is devastating because it lays out the pattern, and once you see it, you can't unsee it. Here's how it worked. Chad Daybell would declare that someone had a dark spirit. He'd tell his followers that the person's body was now possessed by an evil entity. I know this all sounds batshit crazy, but this is what happened. And then the body needed to be destroyed. His then Lori's brother, who's also in on this, Alex Cox, who'd been designated as her protector in this twisted belief system, would carry out the killing or the attack, and Lori and Chad would collect the financial benefits. Charles Vallow, Lori's ex-husband, before his death, Chad had pronounced that Charles was, quote, dark. Both Lori and Chad were telling people that Charles' spirit was no longer in his body. He was Ned Schneider. That's the name they gave him. It's a spirit named Ned Schneider in you. And they believe the only way to eradicate the spirit is to eradicate the body, which means killing someone. Surprise, surprise, Alex Cox, Lori's lover brother, or brother. I still think there was more shit going on there behind the scenes. Shot and killed Charles in Lori's home. Claimed self-defense, but the evidence tells a bit of a different story. Once one of the bullets was fired after Charles was already on the floor. Alex claimed he performed CPR. There's no indication he actually did, and it would be nearly impossible with the way the bullets were. And he waited 43 minutes to call 911. 43 minutes. Brandon Boudreau, he lived. Before the attempt on his life, Chad had declared Brandon was a dark spirit, too. According to the state's brief, Chad explicitly requested that Alex kill him. Someone shot at Brandon's Jeep on October 2019. He survived, barely. Now look at Idaho. Chad pronounced that Tammy Daybell, his own wife, had a dark spirit. And then she died under suspicious circumstances in October of 2019, just weeks before Chad married Lori. Chad pronounced that JJ had a dark spirit too. The kids. Chad pronounced that Tylee had a dark spirit. Chad pronounces everyone have dark spirits, pretty much. Both children were killed. Their bodies were buried in his property, and Laurie and Chad collected on life insurance and Social Security. The state's brief includes a line that deserves to be quoted. A self-proclaimed religious leader with a small but committed following who targets individuals by labeling them as dark spirits before utilizing his love interest to sign protector to kill his targets in the hope of obtaining a financial benefit is about as unique of a calling card as one can have. That's not prejudicial overkill. That's the blueprint. You cannot separate the Arizona deaths from the Idaho murders. Same method, same actors, same motives, same outcome. The jury needed to see the full picture to understand what they were dealing with. This is textbook rule 404B evidence. Prior acts that show intent, plan, and modus operandi. The court was right to let it in. And finally, coming in on the countdown at number 5, it's speedy trial. She argues that the nearly 2-year gap between her indictment in May of 21 and her trial in April of 23 violated her constitutional and statutory rights. Here's the math. 353 days of that delay were attributable to her competency evaluations. Either the defense requested them or at minimum, they weren't the state's fault. She also successfully moved to change venue from Fremont County to Ada County, and that wasn't a small ask. It required massive logistical coordination, security arrangements, staffing, jury, commissioner prep, physical accommodations for a large jury pool, and overflow courtroom. That takes time. And let's not forget what kind of case this was. Capital charges, multiple defendants, multiple victims, voluminous discovery. The state's brief put it bluntly. On balance, all Vallo has going for her on this claim is the length of delay, which runs face first into the indisputably complex nature of this case and the fact that she contributed to most of the delay. You don't get to cause the actual delays and then complain about the delays. That's not how speedy trial analysis works, Lori. So what do these 5 claims actually reveal? They reveal a woman who spent years reframing her own choices as someone else's fault. She picked a conflicted attorney. That's the court's problem. She was incompetent to participate, but also should have been included anyway. She requested a venue change, but the timeline is someone else's failure. Every argument follows the same internal logic. Nothing is ever her fault. Nothing is ever her responsibility. And maybe that's the thread that runs through this entire case. It is. From the moment Lori Vallo decided her children were possessed by dark spirits, she stopped seeing them as her responsibility. They weren't her kids anymore. They were obstacles, vessels of evil, problems to be solved. And once you've convinced yourself of that, burying them in the backyard isn't murder. It's just taking out the trash. The Idaho Supreme Court hasn't scheduled oral arguments yet. Lori's appellate attorney can still file a reply brief. But based on the state's 59-page response, this appeal has all the structural integrity of a doomsday prophecy that never came true. JJ was 7, Tylee was 16. They didn't get appeals. They didn't get 5 chances to argue their case. They got duct tape and plastic in a shallow grave, and their mother, the woman who was supposed to protect them, is still, from a prison cell, trying to find a loophole. Some things don't deserve a second chance. This is one of them. Your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube. Would love to get your thoughts if you're not already there. Search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi and press subscribe and join us there. If you want to join us directly and have a conversation directly with me, comment directly where I'm going to see it for sure. Join our Substack. It's absolutely free right now. The link is in the description. It's on the screen right now if you're watching us on YouTube. It's hiddenkillers.substack.com. Love to get your thoughts there too. Wherever it is you're listening or watching, be sure to press subscribe. And if you're using our content or listening to our content on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review there. That would help us tremendously. It signals to others that you find this reporting valuable. And then lets other people know. So please press subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. If you have a few moments, thank you. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.